All right, so we are talking about ecclesia, right? And what did ecclesia mean? You guys remember? Hey, there you are. What is it? The barn? Did you say the barn? The church, yeah. And what does ecclesia mean? I know it means church, but what does it mean?
Separate body inside, separate.
Remember there are two words, ek and ecclesia, exit, like out of, right? Called out of. So you guys are called out of, if you believe in Jesus Christ, what are you called out of? Sin in the world. Yes. And you're called into what? If you're called out of something, where are we going? We talked about this. This isn't new. Huh? Into Christ. Into what else? Righteousness. The body of Christ. Into who He is. And who's the body of Christ? You guys, the believers, right? So ecclesia means that you're a called out group of people that believe in Jesus, you're called out of sin, and you're called to be a group of people who is the body of Christ. And so tonight we're talking about kind of the second half of what we looked at last week. Do you guys remember what we talked about in the beginning of Acts 2, 42 to like 44? We talked about something. What were a couple things we mentioned? You guys remember? Was anyone paying attention? Anybody? Huh? You weren't there? Anybody here last week that was paying attention that remembers anything about it? Even a word? Good. We are doing so good. This is awesome. Well, let me tell you then. We talked about devotion. That they were devoted. They were a people, the church, the very first church, were a people that were devoted to the Word of God, to prayer, and to the fellowship, to each other. And those three things were super, super important in their lives. And so their whole lives revolved around those things because that's what helped them grow in their Savior, Jesus Christ. So without prayer, you can't do it. Without the Word of God, you can't do it. Without the fellowship, you can't do it. Those were three essentials to them. So they were willing to say, we're devoted to these things because we're devoted to Christ. And if I'm devoted to Christ, I will make sure I'm around the body of Christ. I will make sure I'm in the Word. I will make sure I'm praying because He's worth it. And we talked about how sometimes our lives, especially today, don't look like that. That we're devoted to a lot of things, but we might not be devoted to God. Church is usually the first thing we kick aside because we view it as this club that I go to when I can, instead of an essential part of my life and my growth in Jesus Christ. And so everything should revolve around that. Prayer is something, if I have time, I'll get before God and pray, but I might not have time to do that. And so that tends to get pushed out with more important things. The Word of God, how am I ever going to have time to study the Word of God if I don't have time to pray or even go to church once a week? Like, so that's definitely getting kicked aside. And all of a sudden, we're looking and we're saying, wait, the church is supposed to be devoted to those things. How come we're not? Can we be the church without being devoted to those three things? And so we're picking up there in the next part of this thing. After we see that, we're going to read back through Acts 2, verses 41 to 47, but we're only going to look at the second half that we missed last week. It says, so those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, see that word, don't forget it, together, and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We have such an awesome description of what the church is here. And sometimes today, we live in this culture where the church is a place where we go because we kind of like, A, as when we're younger, our parents kind of make us. Or B, my friends go there, so I want to go have some friends and hang out, and that's a cool place to meet people. Those are both fine answers, but they're not the whole answer. And sometimes as we get older, we drift into this thing where the church is a place where I go because I have some needs. And I need someone who will come along and help me with these needs. And so the video is pretty clear. That tends to be something that we do a lot in America, where we're like, all right, so if we got something going on, guess who we're going to call? Titus? There's someone over here who needs to know Jesus. You should probably do this. What? Like, why don't you do it? Like, you're the body of Christ. We just said that. You were called out of sin. You were called into the body of Jesus to be His hands and feet and His mouthpieces. And so shouldn't you be the first one to say, they need Jesus? I need to tell them about Jesus, not calling Titus. Pastor Fias, there's this person who needs a missionary. And guess what? Go. Don't call Fias. You need to go. And so as we look at the body of Christ, one of the things that we see these people doing is they were being the body of Christ. Not like this video where they're like, uh-oh, there's a need. Blink, blink, blink. Where's the pastor? Quick, somebody get a pastor. Get my life group leader here fast. They need to get here because I can't do this. One thing I'm praying like crazy when I get with God for you guys is that you realize that you are the body of Jesus. That God right now is wanting to use you. 7th grade? Yep. 8th grade? Yep. All the way up to seniors. God's wanting to use you right now. He's already got people He's calling into your life. You've probably already met them. And the question for you tonight is, do you have eyes to see that and ears to hear it? Are you listening to God as He says, hey, that person over there, they need to hear about me. Go tell them. Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice when He calls you to be that person to go love on somebody who's hurting? Or you're like, I can't do that. I'm not ready for that yet. I haven't graduated high school. God's not waiting for you to graduate high school. See, He's already called you out of the world and put you into His body so that you now are ready to be living on mission for Him. And so I'm praying, I'm saying, God, please help these students realize that You want to use them right now. That You want to take them to their schools and invade those schools with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That You want their teachers who don't believe in You to hear the gospel through them, through their own students. That You want homes that might not know Jesus to be full of the gospel because that student's going home to their house and they're going to talk to their parents. God wants to use you to be His body right now. And here's a few ways that He's doing that. So let's look at verses 44 on is where we're at tonight. He says, and all who believed were together. Together. You see that word together? That's a cool word. Because that word together doesn't exist a whole lot in American society anymore. Together for us means that, all right, guys, let's get together. Meet you on Facebook. Right? Check this video out. It's so awesome. A dog just bit a cat's butt. This is great. You got to see this. You know, like whatever we look at. It's crazy. I'm following you. Yes, now we're together because I'm following you. Check out my tweets, you know, like whatever. But it's all about that. And so often we substitute that for actually doing what Jesus called us to do. This togetherness that Christ is talking about is so much bigger than just hanging out, than just fun community, being part of a club. This togetherness we're about to see was pretty deep. It was the togetherness of a family. The togetherness that says no matter what you need or where you're at, you can count on me. I regularly talk to your life group leaders, more regularly now than before. And you know what I keep hearing from them? A couple people said this just in this last week to me. I want my students to know that no matter what, I will always be there for them. That's what your life group leaders think about you. They love you the way God says the church should love each other. A togetherness that says you can always count on me. And look at what these people were doing as they were together. It says, they had all things in common. You know what that means? All my stuff is your stuff. Skirt. Wait, what? How many of you guys would do that right now? You'd be like, yeah, all my stuff at home, you guys, it's ours now. Like, let's just share it. You can use it whenever you need to. Anybody, it's all yours. Right? You'd be freaking out, like, oh, I just gotta break my Xbox. I ain't letting that kid touch it. Like, he'd be like, no, that's my stuff. It's weird, right? But there's this awesome togetherness that's happening in the church. Now, I wanted to show you because I was thinking about this and just kind of praying, and a couple thoughts came to my mind. Do you guys know what cows do in a storm? Cows do this crazy thing. I want to show you real quick. Let me show you what cows do, this crazy thing they do when it's storming outside. They do something really weird. They do, oh, wait, that's not it. Hold on. They do this. This is what, wait, hold on, that's wrong too. They don't do yoga. They do this. There it is. That's what they do. They all huddle together. You see that? I was going to the catfish places one. You guys know the catfish places? If you have any of the catfish places, you need to go. You drive down Nova Road over to St. Cloud and you're like, ba-ching, it's right there. It's the most delicious food ever in the world. Right? You're going to try it, the catfish place. Google that later and try it. But anyway, so I'm driving out this, you guys know where Nova Road is, anybody? It's this like long road of nothing. Absolutely nothing but cows. Cows everywhere down this road. And so I'm cruising down there, and it was like crazy, like clouds coming out, and this like storm starts raising up out of nowhere. And I'm thinking tornado's gonna come and like suck us up. It's like Kansas, it's like Dorothy, and I'm like clicking my heels, like, get me out of here. And I'm looking, and these poor cows are everywhere. I'm like, if a tornado hit, these things are just making hamburgers all over the place. This is gonna be nasty. And I'm looking at what the cows are doing. It was crazy. They all had like kind of gathered together and stuck their head out the fence and were just looking at me drive by like, take us with you. It's just like sad faces. And they were all just like cuddled right up, kind of like that, but even tighter during the storm. So when there's storms, cows do tend to like group together for safety or whatever, but they do that. We probably would too in a storm. You're like scared to death. You're like, there's a tornado, help! You know, you grab each other. But there's this cool togetherness that happens. And if we look at life beyond just cows and hamburgers, if you look at your own life for a second, you might share a similar feeling. Think about when you're nervous. Think about when you're scared. Think about when you're really excited about something. What do you want? You want your friends around, don't you? You want to be with people. There's this awesome thing that God has put in each and every one of us to want community. We went through the series called The Family Plan. I don't know if you guys remember that. We talked about relationships and how God designed us to be together. And God, as He has taken us out of the world and put us in the church, He did that in a really special way. Because it says He made us His body together, joined together like a body is joined together. There's this unity, this cool togetherness about us that we're on the same team. We're there for each other in the storms or in the good times, as if that's a storm and not a good time, just so you know. I didn't. You're there because He said, you guys are one. One in Jesus. So we're one with each other, but we're also one with God. It's this really cool togetherness that we have. And this church is willing to go to extremes and just say, hey, listen, anything I have, like it's ours. It doesn't belong to just me anymore. Now, sometimes I feel like when you say that to me, this like weird selfish bone in me like kicks in. And it makes me think of this video real quick I'm going to show you. This is how I feel inside when you're like, hey, share your stuff, okay? No, I won't share. It's mine. Give it back. No, I won't. Like, you know, like that's how I feel. Like, don't take my stuff, you know? Isn't that terrible? Look at that poor little dog. Those really white thighs need to get a tan too. That's pretty terrible. But anyway, he didn't want to let go of his toy. He's like, that's my toy. That's my toy. You know how selfish we can be sometimes? That this goes against every part of our sin nature for us to say, God, I know I'm yours. I know what you've taken me out of. I know what you've given me, eternal life, which is so much better than anything else I have. But I just want to hold on to it so bad. And sometimes this physical world can have us so confused and deceived to want to hang on to it. But these people got it because they said, I don't have to hold on to this. I have Jesus. You can't take that away from me. That's the best thing I could use both of my hands to hold on with all my strength to is Christ. So all this other stuff, I'll gladly share it. Because I love Jesus and I love you, so it's all ours. There's this really cool dynamic of togetherness that happens when you know Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. And that made these people a family, a body, brought together in Christ Jesus. It says that they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And remember these people. Like, they didn't live in a Christian society. These people, Jesus had just died. A lot of people thought He was a fake. And so they're going around and they're like, I believe in Jesus. I'm not buying idols anymore. And they're like, what? That's how I make all my money. You know, you 3,000 people can't stop buying idols because now I'm going to go broke. So all of a sudden persecution rises up and nobody likes Christians anymore because they're not like us and they're going to hurt our economy. And so I'm not going to let you trade with them. Wait, I can't buy food for my family? No, you're a Christian. Go home. But how am I going to feed my family? I don't care. You're a Christian. Go home. Wait, you're not going to buy my stuff? No, you're a Christian. Well, how am I going to make money to like support my family? I don't care. You're a Christian. All of a sudden, these people are going broke and their businesses are collapsing and people are boycotting them because they're Christians and they're seeing this persecution far beyond just that. So there's this togetherness that they felt that they needed. Because if I didn't sell my stuff and say, Jordan, I know people aren't buying your stuff anymore, man, so I took care of it. I sold my cow so that you could have some money. Feed your family. If I didn't do that as his brother in Christ, guess what would happen to Jordan and his family? So this wasn't just, hey, let's all just join a big group, buy a big house, and we'll live together and have like a big like dorm. It'll be fun. Like this was, if I don't do this for you, you're done. God has put me in your life to love you enough to say, look, I'll sacrifice this for my brother or sister in Christ. Now, we might not live in a society right now today that looks like that, but that same love should still be in every single one of our hearts. Because there's still real life needs and hurts all around us. But it might not be as easy to see as somebody going broke over being a Christian in the marketplace. But they're there. You don't know what your friend's feeling in their heart. You don't know how bad they need someone to come up and just talk to them and love them. You don't know the needs, so are we asking? Are we being a tight body that says, when you go through this, I'm going to be close enough to you that I'm going to know. And I'm going to love you and I'm going to help you through it. You might not have to go out tomorrow and sell your iPod or whatever, your smartphone, or, but you should be there for your friends, for the body of Christ. You should care enough to love people to say, whatever it is I have to do, I'm willing. I'm willing for you and for Jesus. And so this was pretty crazy what they were going through, and pretty awesome too, because it's an example that we don't often see. It's an extreme, but it's real. And so look at verse 46. It says, and day by day. Now don't forget that little phrase there. That means every single day, all right? Day by day, attending the temple together. Wait, what? You went to church every day? Like, really? Some of us have a hard time going to church once like a month, all right? Let's just be honest. I see some of your faces maybe once every 2 months. You know, like, you scoot in, scoot out, whatever. These people went to church every day. That's crazy. And look what it says next. And breaking bread together in their homes. Like, they're eating in each other's houses every day. Now, granted, it's a society without, like, cars and planes. They can't get as far away from each other. I get it. They probably live in the same little village, whatever. But even some of us live close to each other and don't ever see each other for, like, weeks. No. There's this cool dynamic that says every single day we're involved in each other's lives. We're going to the temple together. We're hearing the Word of God and praying and worshiping together. As a group, we're coming to celebrate Jesus and what He's done for us every single day. And then it says breaking bread in their homes. They weren't just going to church and going home and be like, all right, see you next week. You know, it's like, how do we hear the Word of God in the temple and then take the Word of God that we hear. Let's just call the temple Firehouse just for the sake of argument tonight. It could be Sunday morning service or wherever you're most fed, okay? But let's just say we go to Firehouse. We hear the Word of God like we're doing right now. We're studying together. Then we just go on with our week and we don't hear it again until next Wednesday or two Wednesdays from then or whatever. They didn't do that. They said, I'm going to go, I'm going to listen, I'm going to study, I'm going to take in the Word of God, I'm going to take notes, I'm going to care about what I'm learning. Then, throughout my week, I'm going to get together in my home with these other people from my church in smaller groups, because there were 3,000 people, remember? So it's like being in our church times two on a Sunday morning and trying to like get with every single one of those people. Have you looked around that room on a Sunday morning? Like, how am I going to talk? It would take you forever just to say like hi to everybody. So they would get together in smaller groups throughout the week and go to their homes. They'd hang out together. They'd talk to each other and say, what did you guys think about what we learned? The apostle so-and-so preached on Sunday or whenever it was. It was every day. So last night or yesterday. And they talk about it. How can we apply this? How can we actually live this out together? And Joe would be like, John, man, I noticed that you like, you know, you're struggling with this. Can I help you? Can I pray with you? Can I encourage you with that? Notice a sin. Or someone, man, I saw you like loving on that person. It's so awesome. And they'd encourage them and say, this is great. But they would do it together. Some of us hate that part. And you know what that is? It's our American culture that says, whoa, too close. Like, yeah, you're in my like private zone. Don't come to my house. Heaven forbid you open, I open my doors to my house and you walk in, hey, you'll see my house. Like, we feel like we're like violating each other's personal space sometimes. And these people were like living life together, eating in each other's houses, doing things together, opening what it says next, their hearts to each other. You see that? They received their food they were taking with each other throughout the week with glad and generous hearts. There's three things here. We call this the rhythm of life, all right? It's like the temple, the home, it's a smaller group than the temple, and then the heart. It's the smallest little group. It's your own personal individual relationship with Jesus. And if you try to just do one of those three things and not the other two, you can't grow in Christ. It's like every organism, we have to breathe, right? And when we breathe, our lungs expand, and you breathe out, and they contract. And expand and contract, and we breathe to be healthy, because if we don't, we die, right? And so the church is you and me. We're living, we're an organism, and there's this awesome dynamic of spiritually with Jesus where we expand and contract. We have this big service where we get together and we just shout out how awesome He is, and we celebrate and we hear the Word of God. Kind of like what we're doing right now. We come and we sing these songs, not to stand here bored and watch Manny and them like sing. We come so we can say, let's get together, and all of us together just join our voices and yell out to God how awesome He is. You know why? Because in some other countries, you can't have two people get together and be like, I like Jesus. And all of a sudden people are like, done, you know? You can't share that. And so for them, if I were to say, hey, there's going to be like 20 people that are going to get together and they're just going to sing as loud as they can how much they love Jesus, they'd be like, what? We're going to do that? Like, can I be a part of that? I say that to some of us and we're like, oh yeah, cool, more music. Then we're going to get together in life groups and it's going to be this more intimate time, like what we call home, and we're going to talk to each other and encourage each other. Oh, we got to go to life groups after this. Oh man. People in these other countries would be like, you get to sit around and talk about the Word of God and encourage other believers? That's incredible. It's unbelievable. And finally, if we're doing that, something's happening in our heart. There's that expansion and contraction between everybody together to smaller groups encouraging each other to you getting alone before God on your knees and praying and reading His Word and growing in your heart, just you and God. And some of us just try to do the big church thing. We just do the temple. And it's like having your lungs just full of air and never letting the air out. And you're like, ah! You're just going to pop like that bird in Shrek who sings really high. You know what I'm talking about? Like, oh, that's what's going to happen because you're not breathing. You're staying and thinking that this area right here is going to grow your spirituality completely. It's not going to happen. I could preach to you till I'm blue in the face over and over. We could sing as many songs as we try to, but you're never going to grow because we can't apply it here. This is a time for celebration and for learning. And then as we breathe out and get to the smaller groups, we can encourage each other and serve each other and apply the things we're actually hearing. So we have to bring some of us, we breathe it all out. And we're like, I'm good. I don't even need church. I don't need these small group things. What's that for? Just me and God. And it's like sitting there with no air in your lungs and you're trying to do it by yourself. You ever try to run when you're really out of shape and you feel like you're like gasping for air, like after 2 feet, like I do every time. Like, did I just run 3 miles? No, you just started, bro. Oh man, you know, it's terrible. Because you're trying to do it all on your own. And the church breathes life into you. Your fellow Christians breathe faith into you and point you to Jesus and encourage you and lift you up. And you don't have that because you just don't like life groups. You don't like that small, intimate community that gets in your space too much. God has designed us in a way where He says, I'm putting you in this church, which isn't just the big group. It's this flow, this rhythm that happens. As you're with me alone and you're with a small group that helps and encourages you and you apply, and you all come together at these certain points and you hear God's Word and you shout out to Jesus how awesome He is. And one thing I want us to be focusing on as a youth group and as your leaders, We want to be focusing on this breath, this rhythm that happens, encouraging you to get alone with Christ, just one-on-one. Read and study His Word. We want to be encouraging you to be a part of a group, a small group that keeps you accountable and loves you and encourages you. We also want to be a group that says we are committed to the group getting together because this honors God when we all come together as one and hear the Word and worship. We don't want to be the people that just pick one of those things and it suffocates. We want to be the people that says, God, You've built this rhythm into our life to be Your body, the church. And so we want to encourage you in all three of those areas. I'm out of breath right now, all this breathing stuff I'm doing up here. I'm a little behind here. Hebrews 10:25 says this, because some of us, I'm not sure if we totally grasp how important the church is in our life. I think most of the people I talk to will agree. Like, yeah, it's important. My mom always told me it was important growing up, or my grandma always used to say it was good. Or most people, even ones that don't ever go to church, will tell you they probably think church is pretty important. But how many of us actually know and believe to the full extent of how important the church is? Hebrews 10:25 tells us this, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near that Jesus is coming back. And what Luke is saying in Hebrews is that some people have this habit, even that soon after Christ had already risen, they're already in this habit of neglecting the church. Like, I have a relationship with Jesus, I don't really need the church anymore. And Jesus is like, I designed the church to put it here for you. Because I'm going away, so I'm leaving the church here with you that the Holy Spirit can work in and through your group so that as you guys come together, you can actually grow in me. So He says, don't neglect meeting with the body. Don't neglect this awesome thing that I've designed to help you know me better. And some of us are trying to do it on our own. But we just don't understand how important the church is. And so other things like we talked about last week, that devotion that they had wasn't there. Well, their devotion was there because they got this verse. They understood how important it was that they were together. Not just on Wednesday nights, but they were together in each other's lives in smaller portions throughout the week. They were getting together with Jesus alone. They were doing the breathing, the rhythm. And this meeting together is so important. And so one of the things that we do that God's given us to be a reminder of that is this thing called communion. You guys ever heard of communion before? Or the Lord's Supper, sometimes people call it. The Lord's Supper is the sign of the fellowship that we have with one another and with God. It's something that we do to remember constantly and remind ourselves and each other of what God's given us and why it's so important that we be His body. And so 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17, I want to read this to you real quick. It says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there's one bread, we who are many, all of us, look around you for a second, look how many people are in the room that are different from you. Anybody look exactly like you? Anyone look even close to you? All right. We who are many, right? Do you get that now? We who are many, check this out, are one body. Not the same, but one. For we all partake of the one bread. You know why we're one, even though we're not the same? Why that togetherness exists? Because you and I have been saved by the same Savior. Jesus died on a cross and was tortured and beaten, and He spilled His blood so that you could be forgiven of sin and not have to go to hell. So that you would be given something you don't deserve because you're a sinner just like me, and we could see heaven with God forever. That binds us together. That makes us one because we have the same present or gift given to us by Christ that we don't deserve. And it's His death. That we sit here to celebrate a death. It sounds weird. But also a life. And Jesus rose again and didn't stay dead. We just celebrated Easter. A a time to remember that He beat death. And if you're sitting there going, "Man, that's cool," you don't get it. It really happened. A dude really rose again from the dead. Because He was God. And He did it for you. And all of a sudden, if I were talking to the Acts church, they'd be like, "Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Like, what? This is awesome!" And we're like, "Yeah, cool." You know? Tonight we want to celebrate and remember that this is awesome. That this is so cool that Jesus Christ has given us life and made us one. Because look what happens, the last verse here. Look what happens when we believe that and we live it out. It says, praising God. You see that? You see this? No, you don't yet. But those two words, praising God. All right, so I'm living in community with these guys right here. And we're encouraging each other. When I mess up, they call me out. And when I'm like doing well, they're like, "Yeah, brother." And they're praying for me. And we're like, we're doing life together. We're encouraging each other, saying, "Do you remember who Jesus is and what He's done for you?" And we're living life together. We're coming together into a big group and saying, "This is all, let's worship together. Let's tell God how great He is." We're getting alone with God on our knees and reading the Word and praying. And this crazy thing is happening. God's growing our faith. He's making us believe in Him more and more. So eventually, we get to the point where I say Jesus rose from the dead, and you guys are like, "What?" Like, we're at that point. You see that? But it takes growth. It takes this time that as we actually breathe and do this thing, that God does a crazy work in us. And He gets us fired up for who He is because we believe it with 100% of our hearts. And the reminder of that is the words that come out of our mouth as that happens. It says, praising God. Because this is happening, my heart is full of You, Jesus. Like, I think about You all the time. It says Your bread and Your juice. You know why we do the Lord's Supper, which is over here for a second? I'll just show you. We'll get into this in a second. My special music. You know why we do this? How often do you do this? How often do you eat something? A couple times a day, some of you like 10 times a day, some of you guys like 2 or 3, right? Some of us don't ever get to eat because we're so overweight. But anyway, this looks so good right now. Just kidding. We eat and we drink multiple times every single day, right? Jesus says, as often as you eat or drink, what should you do? Remember Me. You know that communion, when we talk about the Lord's Supper, sometimes we're like, they're going to give me this dry cracker. It tastes like styrofoam. And I'm not going to be able to have enough moisture in my mouth to get it down. And I'm going to die right in church. It's going to be terrible. You know, and we drink this little, like, sour juice. And we're like, yeah. We think that's like the Lord's Supper, but it's just a kind of a shadow of it. Because the point behind that, the heart behind what we do here and what we're saying is Jesus said, as often as you put food in your mouth, or you drink something to wash that food down, you should be remembering Me and reminding other people about Me. That's a lot. That's like, what, 3 or 4 times a day? And the point was this. Never stop. Every breath you take from the point you get saved on until the day you die is a gift from God. It's a day where you should, it's a breath that you should be saying, "Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus." Because every single breath is from Him. So He says, remember Me with every breath, every bit of food you eat. And so when He says praising God here, these people were constantly thinking about Him with every breath because it was like, "God, I would be going to hell without You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. You're on my mind, You're on my heart. It makes me want to love other people and be together with the body because this gift is so crazy. It's so big and awesome, and so You're always on my mind, so You're always on my lips." And so when these people around me are like, "Why are you always talking about Jesus? You're some nut." I know, because He's awesome! Like, I can't help but tell you that. Like, it's just going to come out. Because He's always in my heart, He's always going to be on my lips, and I'm praising Him. And look at the cool thing that happens. And having favor with all the people. As this rhythm takes place in us, and we grow, and we praise Him, this love that forms in our hearts causes us to want to serve people. It causes us to want to minister to others, and it causes them to say, like, "What, Dustin? Bro, why are you just such a loving dude? Like, I don't get it. You're always nice. You're always helping people. Like, dude, I just like you because you're just hard to not like. Like, there's something about you." And you're like, "It's not me. It's Jesus." And you don't have to say it like in a cheesy way, because it's true. It really is the work that Jesus is doing in him as he's doing this. As he's engaged with Christ. And he's gaining favor with the people, and they're hearing the praises of God. And all of a sudden it says, and the Lord added to their number. You know what that means? People are getting saved. As Mallory's going out serving people, and they're seeing her life and hearing the praise of God on her lips, she's always talking about him. How he saved her, how he's awesome, how he's done amazing things. They're hearing it and they're going, I want that. And God's saving them through that testimony. I like that it says, bless you, it says day by day. Didn't it just say that a second ago? What were they doing day by day? Right? They're engaging with God in his body. Day by day. And so day by day as they're doing that, people are getting saved. This isn't, bless you again, this isn't some weird like, hey guys, let's all grab some tracts and some big signs. We're going to walk out and we're going to go do some stuff. And every day we're going to have this different like, I don't know, this like plan how we're going to attack Merritt Island. It's not what this looks like. I don't see one person doing that here. But I do see people whose entire life is about the gospel. Whether they're walking through Publix, or they're sitting at school, or they're at Disneyland, whatever, their life is about Jesus. And so they're interacting with people that don't know Christ. And so here's something we need to keep in our minds, a lesson we can learn from these people. As we do this, as we engage in Christ and read his word and love on each other, and we've got some groups here, man, you guys love each other a lot. It's awesome. I look at Aftershock, our college group, and that is a group of people that is so tight. God's doing some incredible work in that. Praise to him for that. These people always kept on their minds something bigger than that group, though. As we're doing this, that other people need to hear. There's always people outside that group that may be lost and not know Jesus, not have the gift of salvation that we do. And so as they're breathing together, as they're encouraging each other and studying the word and worshiping, they're also out, praises on their lips, telling other people. I love that you guys brought so many friends last week. People that don't go to church, people that I've never seen before. You guys were so awesome with inviting people. You can do it. See that? Like it could be done. Some of you are like, Rob, like 2 weeks before, you're like, Rob, man, I can't do that. You're straight, I don't have no friends. I'm like, you got friends, you're a liar. Like, you need to go meet people. We're like, I don't have nobody. And it might be true. Some of us just might not have like a ton of people we socialize. We're busy. I get it. I get it. But it's not an excuse, because you can do it. Because the Holy Spirit has designed you to be a person that goes out and says, I'm not going to just be about the church and about my Christian friends. I'm also going to have some friends who aren't saved, and it's going to matter to me that they know the gospel and hear how good Jesus is. So our groups might not just look like us sitting around in a Bible study only looking at each other, which is awesome sometimes. I hope we better be doing that. But we're bringing people in that may have never heard that gospel. We're constantly looking out to see who we can be encouraging that doesn't know Jesus, so they can be a part of this body that we are. And that's what's happening here in this passage. And so tonight, what I'm going to ask you guys to do in just a second, we're actually going to do this sign of fellowship and remind ourselves of how good Christ is. So we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper tonight, and I'm going to ask you to do something real quick. I want you to get with your life groups. Hopefully you know what life group you're in. If you don't know, Megan can help you. She's right back there, or one of our leaders that's standing back there. Get with your life groups and just take your chairs. Serve each other by grabbing some chairs for each other, and just make a little circle somewhere around this room. Right down here, don't go up in the back or whatever, but just kind of get your own little nook in the room. Make a circle with each other, and then I'll give you some instructions from there, okay? All right, hopefully you've kind of got with your groups. And here's what we're going to have you do. I'm just going to walk us through real quick and explain what this means. And then I'm going to let you and your groups, you're going to actually take the Lord's Supper together, all right? And so if you kind of, you can't really see too well, but that's fine. You know where the back counter is. There's some trays back there, and they have some juice in them, those little cups made of like olive branch wood. And they're really neat. You guys can keep those when you're done. It's just kind of like a little memory of what we've done tonight to remind you of how great Jesus is and what he's done for you. The juice will kind of stain the wood, remind you of Christ's blood. And then there's some trays back there too that look just like this that have the bread in them. And hopefully you've hand sanitized. If you haven't, pass it around, all right? But you're just going to take it and you're going to rip a little piece of bread off there. Guys, don't be stinky, right? Corinthians actually talks about this. You know, don't take too much food. We'll have to read that one next. But break a little piece off and then just kind of wait. If you'll be, send like one or two representatives from your groups to serve everybody and just serve the people around you. Go back there, get the trays, just bring them back to your groups and set them on the floor or something. And then we're going to talk through what these things mean, all right? So go ahead and send your reps to go get your stuff. All right, hopefully everybody's gotten your bread and your juice at this point. I want to read you a passage where we actually see the communion or the Lord's Supper being done real quick, and it kind of explains to us what this stuff means. Why are we drinking bread and juice? Like, why is it not pizza and, you know, like soda, like Mountain Dew or something? So let's read through this real quick. It's Luke 22, verses 14 to 20 here. Just listen to the words. It says, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" And here we have Jesus sitting at a table with his disciples. And he's looking down at the bread and he's saying, the same way when I break this, that's what happened to my body. As I hung on the cross, my body was torn into pieces for you. I want you to think about that. I want you to remember Jesus and the sacrifice that he made as his body was beaten and crushed for you. Because you and I are sinners. Because you and I deserve hell for eternity, Jesus said, "No. No, I won't let that happen. I love you too much." And his body was broken for us. So he told his apostles, he said, "Break that bread and think of me. And you put that in your mouth and you eat it. I don't want you just to eat." He says, "I want you to consume me." When you take that food in, it doesn't just go in and do nothing. It goes in and becomes a part of you. That bread gives you energy. It gives you strength. And in the same way Jesus says, "I want to be your identity. I want to give you strength. I want to grow you. I want you to actually take me and do something with it. Live for me. Apply the truths that I'm giving you. Eat my body in a way that says, like, take me in. Let me legitimately live within you." He says that blood, this juice, was like my blood that poured out. As I was whipped and I was beaten, and they pulled my beard out and shoved that crown of thorns in my head, and they nailed those nails into my hands and feet and hung me on that cross. As that blood poured out of my body, that wasn't a small sacrifice. That wasn't something that deserves a smirk and, "Oh, thanks, Jesus." He says, "I want you to drink it and I want it to become your life. Because I did this for you. The people that are in this room that are hearing these words, Jesus says, I did it for you." So tonight, as you sit in your groups, I want to ask you to do two things for me. I want you to celebrate Jesus together. Before you touch the bread or drink the juice, I want you to share something about why Jesus is so awesome to you. It could be why you believe in Jesus. It could just be something you admire about Jesus. Whatever God puts in your heart to share with your group. It might just be a prayer. But something to say, this is why Jesus is awesome to me and why I want to take this bread or this juice. Now, if you don't feel like, "I'm not a believer," like, this is for believers tonight. People who Jesus has ripped his body and poured his blood out for. So if you're like, "I'm not a believer," you don't feel comfortable, don't feel pressured to do this tonight. But if you believe in Jesus and you've received His body and His blood, you just share, and we're only going to take about 45 seconds to a minute to just go around our circles and just say something to celebrate Christ. And then as you guys are ready, pray, and your life group leaders can lead you in taking the bread and the juice. All right? So I'll let you go to it.